I'm camped at the A. MacArthur Trading Company hay barn in Wagon Mound, New Mexico. And across the way there, about a marble thumping, the little old three-room sheepherder's shack. Wasn't nobody living in it, but it did have a telephone. Now those receiving barns is where they bought cattle, sheep, and wool. And I'd come in a little bit early to repair some of my equipment. I'd been using on it real hard. My old daddy told me, "Son, if you don't want to work, then I don't you hire out." Well, I hired out and I went to work. That little old telephone got to ringing. I thought, well, ain't nobody here but me. I ought to answer that thing and find out what they want. And just a little bit, a little operator said, "Stand by 1 minute, please." And then a man's voice came on the telephone, and he informed me that he was the state supervisor of the U.S. Wildlife Service in Albuquerque, and that he was looking for that hunter and trapper that was camped there at the A. MacArthur Receiving Barns. "Well, I guess you're looking at him. What can I do for you?" Well, he told me to pack my heavy trapping equipment and make preparations to move. Well, I done that very thing. I sat right there 3 days and three nights and patted my foot, and I wondered what's gonna come next. Well, on the morning of the fourth day, him and my district supervisor come a sailing into my camp, all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. One of them had a quart of sweet milk. The other one had a package of coconut cookies. But each one of them had a fishing pole. And between them, they had a can of garden hackle. Well, it didn't take me very long to figure out who was gonna do this heavy trapping and who was a-going a-fishing. Well, I followed them fellers from Wagon Mound to Springer, New Mexico, and then returned west towards Cimarron, and on through Cimarron on up to Eagle Nest. And right south of Eagle Nest, between there and Black Lake, was an old, old established ranch they called a Monte Verde. They told me in Mexican it meant Green Mountain. Well, I pulled in there with my little old handful of equipment and went to trying to figure out where to start. There was five lawyers and a banker out of Prescott, Arizona, had came up there and leased up that old ranch. And they trucked 8,000 head of sheep up there to run on that summer range. And that old Monte Verde Ranch was a great big old place. It's about 12 or 15 miles long and 8 or 10 miles wide. But it was sure enough a bunch of old rough country for this Flatlander boy to think about. Now, due to that unusual difficulty that them old boys was a-having, one of them had called the New Mexico State Game Department. "Send them a lion and a bear hunter. They're having trouble with the great big bunches." Well, it had come one of them old late winter storms, covered that country up with snow. and all them old sick and sorry sheep died, and the ones that was left wasn't very hard to catch anyway. Well, there were just three of those lawyers up there at the same time. Now, ordinarily, when one of them could get off a few days, he'd bring his fishing pole, and he'd come up and he'd run the ranch. Well, till he got tired of fishing. Well, this New Mexico state lion and bear hunter drove up in their yard, unloaded his horse and dogs. His name was A.C. Ledbetter, and he was a good hard-working man, and he had a reputation of knowing what it was all about. He said, "Now, gentlemen, I'm your lion and bear hunter. If just one of you'll go with me and show me where this lion or bear are, whatever it is, giving you all this trouble, I'll do something for you." One of them lawyers said, "Now, you just hold on now, boy." Said, "We're going with you. We're going to show you what it is that we want you to do." Well, I guess a lawyer's pretty handy about telling anybody what it is that he wants to do. Well, this lion and bear hunter kind of hummed and he hawed around there for a while. He said, "Now just hold on a minute, fellas. But I've been at this job quite a while, and I don't feel like that I need all that kind of help. But I'd just appreciate if you just point out the direction and let me going about a doing my job." Well, you know how it is. One thing led to another. The next thing you know, this lion and bear hunter loaded up his horse and dogs, and he drove back to Cimarron. And he left them three lawyers standing there looking at one another and wondering what would be the next highest court that they could appeal their case to. Well, now, I worked for the U.S. Wildlife Service, and them little boys thought, "Now, here is the answer to our prayer." Well, they didn't have any idea just how green that I really was. I had been to work for the Wildlife Service a little bit over 2 months. Well, I had a wife and 4 hungry young'uns, an 18 collar and a number 4 hat, and I wasn't afraid to work. Well, I prevailed on them old boys to let me have one of those native employees that knowed that country to show me around over that ranch and them old logging roads so I could get a trap line established as quickly as was possible. Well, them old boys just jumped at that. Now, the U.S. Wildlife Service had issued me one bear trap, and in all probability, they didn't figure I'd ever use it anyway. I don't guess, because they didn't send me the clamps to set that trap with. Well, me and that other Mexican took a long pole and stuck it under the bottom of the corral fence, and with a few blocks of wood, we managed to set that bear trap. He handed it to me on a little old squirming horse, and we carried that thing up the mountain there 3 or 4 miles and set it on a bed ground where an old bear had killed 33 head of sheep in one night, and I baited that trap with the remains of those 33 head of sheep. Well, about the second night, I caught that old bear. I thought, "Mister, that sure does make a bear hunter out of me. I'm a-making a mark on the wall." But when them lawyers found out about that, they took their fishing poles and they went back into the livestock production business. Now down there at the bottom of a saddle, between two pretty good sized mountains, was a little spring. And where that old logging road went up in that saddle, it had washed out, and I had to walk. When I walked up in that saddle, to where them game trails went over that mountains on one side and down the other, was one of the most ideal trap-setting locations that a trapper ever looked at. And I put a trap there. And I had to stop down there at that little spring. Well, I could see the water running out of the tracks, what appeared to be an old mama bear and a couple of cubs. And I was dreading the time that I might catch one of them little old nosy bear cubs in one of my coyote traps. And then I'd have his old mother to contend with. Well, I drove up to that spring and stopped. I'm going to check them traps. Now, school wasn't out, and I hadn't moved my family, nor my reloading equipment either. And I'm running a little bit low on ammunition to kill anything in a trap. So I just picked me up a good stout stick. This'll take care of anything that I got caught. Now there was an old superstition among my family. To hear a cricket a chirping was bad luck. Now that could have been so. Well, I started up in that saddle to check my traps. Well, them crickets was a-chirping. The blue jays was a-scolding me. And the squirrels was a-barking at me. Well, I got up there, and sure enough, Old Faithful had caught another booger. I had caught 12 bobcat and coyotes in that one trap. And I nicknamed him Old Faithful. Now, when you're trapping in an area where you've got a lot of the cat family, now you don't stake them people to the ground and you don't tie them hard and fast. When that trap grabs that cat with a foot, he's going to do just exactly what you've always heard tell of. He's going to have a cat fit. He's going to come unglued. And if you've just got him caught with one, two, or maybe three toes, he'll tear something off and get away. Well, if he wasn't a killer by then, you made one out of him, because he can't make a good honest living from then on. Well, I went to trailing that drag mark. And just a little ways, I come to a little quaking aspen about 2 inches thick, laying right flat on the ground. And the leaves wasn't even wilted on that little tree yet. I thought, now this ain't took place very long ago. Well, I got down on one knee to see what had broke that little tree off. And I could see teeth marks. Had bit that little tree off, almost even with the top of the ground. Well, I didn't figure my leg would break any of them teeth, so I hot-footed it back down to my pickup. And then I laid down that good stout stick. That thing had got to feeling just about like a little bitty walking cane, the kind you get at a carnival with a balloon tied to it. Well, I got out a 30-06 rifle, and I come back up that hill. And I went to circling that area. And I got wider and wider. But I didn't find that old mama bear, that other cub, or any trace of them. But I'd caught one of them little old cubs. And he'd got tangled up in some bushes, pulled up a little old pile of leaves and trash. Well, he's sitting right there in the top of it. I felt sorry for that little feller. He looked to me like that he'd been slapped away from the table for turning over the gravy bowl. Well, I went back down that hill. I put up my rifle. I've got to turn that cub loose. I got me out about 35 feet, a little hard twist rope that I used to turn loose a baby calf, a sheep, and once in a great while a deer or an antelope. But I buckled me on a six shooter. Now I'm pretty proud of my accomplishments with a six shooter. I reloaded my own ammunition. I'm holding my own hollow point bullets. And I bragged about shooting jackrabbits on the run. Well, once in a while, often enough to tell about anyway. But when I got back up that hill, them crickets quit chirping. Them blue jays quit scolding me. Them squirrels quit barking at me. You know, I felt like I was out on a great big stage, just waiting for the curtain to open and the show would start. Well, I was, and I just didn't know it. Well, I pussyfooted up behind that young bear and I whizzed a little loop around his neck to pull her up tight and real quick. Well, I put the loose end of that rope around a little tree and I'm a-pulling on it and a-keeping her tight. I'm getting on them trap springs with both feet. And I've almost got that young bear turned loose when a dead stick right behind me popped. And as still as everything was, it almost sounded like a shotgun. Well, I looked over my shoulder and I seen a bear. I seen a mountain of bear. Everything I could see was a bear. Well, a Cherokee Indian and this boy come to the top. I dropped that rope and I stepped astraddle of that young bear. And I set sail through that second growth timber just like a cottontail rabbit. Well, I got pretty close to that real thick part of the second growth timber. I looked over my shoulder to see how I'm doing with my race. And that old mama bear had stopped at that cub. And she was licking him across the nose, just like an old mama dog would a puppy. Now, she didn't give me a whole lot of time to admire the color of her tongue. That old lady just bowed up like an old biting hog. Popped her teeth together, and here she come. Well, I put every rock, every tree, every bit of cover I could find between me and her. Well, it didn't seem like she was charging me all that much. Now, I'm a country boy. I was raised on a farm where we had horses and cattle and all kinds of livestock. An old mare had a baby colt, and she didn't like a whole lot of company. An old cow had a baby calf, and she'd fight the devil out of you about that baby calf. It seemed to me like all they wanted you to do, you just go on off and leave them alone. Well, if that's what that lady had on her mind, that's exactly what this Indian wanted to do. While that's taking place, she managed to work me out in a comparatively open part of that saddle. Well, down there about 30, 40 steps. Now, mister, I never took time to count them. was a pretty good-sized pine tree. I thought, old gal, when I get there, if you let me, right there's where me and you are going to have our showdown. Well, I'm keeping one eye on that bear and one eye on my tree. Well, I didn't get neither one of them done very good, don't guess. I looked around to see how my tree was a-doing, and that tree almost run by me. Well, I reached out and grabbed that tree as it come by, and I spun around behind it. Well, I knowed right then I was a-coming unglued. I said, Splinter, you better stay in the buggy. If it hit a bump and throws you out, you can't heck it. But your dad blame sure better not run. But I'd already done myself some of that. A lot of old mama bears out there, about 12 or 15 yards. Now, mister, I never measured that either. Well, I pulled out that six-shooter and I pointed it out at that old mama bear. Well, that thing didn't seem to scare her not one bit. Now, some people will tell you that a bear has got a white place on their chest. And over the years that I was stationed in that area for the U.S. Wildlife Service, I took quite a number of bear. And I never took a bear yet that had a white hair on him that come with him. But they did have a light place on their chest where it was protected by their head and their neck and possibly rubbed by their chin. Well, I was amazed the way that that gun wobbled around. Now, Splinter, you better wait till she gets right up here. That first shot has got to count. You got to put it on her. Well, I took real careful aim at that light place and just let one fly. Well, I knocked that bear just as flat as a fried egg. Well, that sure did pull me together a whole lot. And I said, Splinter, you're doing all right. Just stay in the buggy. That old mama bear hit the ground. Her front feet spread out. But she raised her head up sort of wobbly-like. Well, I took real careful aim at that light place again and I squeezed off another. Now, when the dust settled and the ground quit shaking, my bear was a-laying right there. She wasn't a-going nowhere. But my gun was a-going click. Click. Well, I don't know what was the worst sound I'd ever heard in all of my life, that to hear my pistol go click, or to hear that old mama bear pop her teeth together. And I've often wondered what would I have done if I'd have missed that bear that first shot. Well, I'm glad I didn't have to find out. Well, I never remembered whether I walked or flew back down to my pickup. And I'm sitting on the running board of that truck, having as hard a chill as any man ever had in all of his life. And I looked down at my hand holding that empty six-shooter. And that hand was just as white as a piece of paper. But old Betsy, we've been through some tight places, but this is the roughest one yet. And in just a little bit, I heard the rocks were rolling and the brush a popping, and somebody a cussing in Mexican. And up rode my sheep herder on a little old wild-eyed horse that was scared plumb to death. He tied that little old horse up to a tree and hobbled him. I guess he wanted that horse to be there when he got ready to go. He came over laid his hand on my shoulder. He said, "Trapper," said, "are you all right?" I said, "Well, I guess so. What do you think?" He said, "I hear you shoot one time." I say, "Okay. That trapper got him for sure. But I hear you shoot two time." I think, "Well, maybe. He missed him that first time. But I hear you shoot bingity bangity bang bang." And I say, "Juan, you better go look. That trapper might be in trouble." Well, mister, I was in trouble. I was in great big kind of trouble. And I said, "Juan, I've got a cub bear up there somewhere with a trap on his foot and a rope around his neck. Will you help me turn that young bear loose? He ain't hurting nothing." He said, "I don't see no cub bear, but I see that old one." Said, "He lay right that place. He don't go somewhere. He don't run away. You have got him for sure. But if you want to turn that cub bear loose, I'll help you." Well, I said, "Juan, if you'll just wait till I get my breath, I'll go show you." Well, I got out my rifle. I don't know what I wanted with that gun. My troubles were over, but by golly, I didn't know that they was. We got up there to where that old mama bear was. I said, "Juan, you hold my gun. I'm going to see what took place right here." That old mama bear had four shots in that light place on her chest. She had one bullet hole just above her left eye. And there was a scooped out place right high in her shoulder blades, about the size of a softball. You know, in all probability, that is the first shot that I hit that bear. Oh, we went over to where that cub was. And I leaned my rifle up in the bushes. And I handed that Mexican the business end of that rope. Now, he was a country boy. He knowed what to do with it. Well, I got on them trap springs, and we had that cub bear turned loose in just a little bit. Well, I grabbed him with a scuff of the neck, jerked my rope off of him, and I pointed him off down that trail. I said, "Old boy, I hope you're big enough to make a living, because it looks to me like that is the very thing that you are going to have to do." Now, any man that's not afraid under them kind of circumstances is already dead. And then is when I begin to appreciate the words of that old doctor back there in Clovis, New Mexico. And over the next 20-odd years, I had a number of occasions to recall those reassuring words that my kind always would.